Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. Des Moines ComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour. For those of you who will have the opportunity to see the photographs from this session with our business law correspondents from the Creamer Law Firm, you will notice that Thomas and I got the same memo today. It's called a gray sweater with a purple shirt.
It's the Monday uniform.
It is the
perfect.
It works. Sam, what happened? You didn't get the memo.
I wrote the memo.
You wrote that. As, of course, why not? All right. With us, Sam and Thomas from the Creamer Law Firm, we are going to talk about something that we end up profiling lots of times here. There are so many individuals within the sound of this radio station that are contemplating starting a business, whether it be in technology and retail, whatever it happens to be. And starting your business, it's critical that you start correctly. And to get some information on how we go about doing that, here's Thomas. What are we doing, Thomas?
Well, a lot of our clients are startup businesses. These are generally folks that have either worked in a particular field for an extended period of time and have decided they want to venture out on their own. Or it's been a hobby for a while and they want to take a professional turn. We see both of these are probably the two biggest groups that come in and decide that they want to do their own business, start up their own deal. The real danger is not realizing that starting and running a business is different than just working in that industry or having it as a hobby. There's a lot of little moving parts that go into making your startup successful.
Mm. And are we going to cover some of those?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
So this is going to end up being kind of a 30,000-foot view looking down.
Well, I think that's important because there's a lot of folks that don't even know what questions to ask.
Exactly. Well, the questions that you ask in this scenario are the same questions you ask for a good interview.
who, what, where, and why.
Exactly. Just go on right down the line. So let's start with the who.
Okay.
All right. I like to think that the who is probably the most important part because that's really where you're going to start. Who's actually going to be in the business? It's going to be just you? Are you going to have some business partners? Are they friends? People that have experience in the industry with yourself, the money folks are always involved in some capacity.
Sure.
This is the first question.
So who are the players, huh?
Exactly. Who are the players? Who makes up the team, your professional entourage, as it were?
And also kind of who makes the decisions?
That's the bottom line, isn't it? So as you're going through this, it's who's going to run the operation, right? So that's going to be up to you in the organizational phase. If we're talking about the singular person that's really pushing this right now, but once everything is formed, then there's more of a structure involved about who gets a say, and that's going to come down more to what your business formation is, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
There is always the application of the golden rule, and that's whoever has the gold makes the rules.
That's like you writing the memo.
Not necessarily, but...
sort of.
But that brings up a good point, though, because the next thing is who's actually going to pay for all of this?
If there's no business, who pays for it?
If there's no business, then everyone pays,
there
ultimately.
You go.
Basically, the question is whether it's going to be debt financed. Are you going to borrow money? Are you going to get money from friends, relatives, and financial institutions? Or are you going to utilize equity capital? Are you going to get investors and investment? Those two are extremely different in many respects. One of the issues that people should recognize is when they get money from people who are not directly involved in the business, they are in fact selling a security unless they are borrowing the money. And that could bring them within the securities laws in a very short order, which could cause a great deal of problems if the business goes bad. One of the reasons to start a business is to try to make a separation between the business and the individual as far as liabilities are concerned. Now, you can't run away from your own stupidity, but at least you can cover for the stupidity of others. What I mean by that is if you're driving the car for the business that hits the child, you can't really say, gee, that was my business and not me. I mean, you're certainly there. But on the other hand, if it's one of your employees, you're protected. The question then becomes, what happens if the business goes broke? Well, if you've been selling securities without proper registrations, there can be some very, very strict penalties for that. And that's something you've got to look at when you're trying to raise money.
So when you are raising money and people are giving you money, you're actually in that business arrangement with these folks. And do they have rights and privileges to that?
Well, it
depends.
As always, I guess the law answer is maybe, probably yes. In a situation where you're offering an actual interest in the business and you have the shareholder arrangement, then they definitely have an interest in the company. They're going to be part of the body that is going to elect your board of directors or your managers, who in turn are going to make up the officer group, appoint the officers who are going to run the day-to-day operations of your business. So that's where their interest comes in. Now, as far as different investor types, doing just a preliminary search here, you can kind of break it down to that the angel investor, mm-hmm. venture capitalist kind of demographic. In there, they'll oftentimes take venture capitalists in particular are going to take a pretty active business interest. They're going to want to be involved in the decision-making process. So you're going to end up offering up some semblance of control or ownership to them. Angel investors, a little bit more flexible, just in the nature of the name, I guess. And they're going to move a little bit away from that decision-making process and see this more as a passive investment.
Got it.
I think that it's also important to recognize the difference between debt and equity. If you're getting debt, meaning a promise to pay, and you're paying on some type of schedule, then arguably the lender has very little input into your business operations. On the other hand, if the source of funding is equity funding, all equity investors in every type of organization have rights to information, have rights to participate, have rights to various important economic business decisions of the business. So it's important whether you distinguish whether the capital is going to come in the form of debt, where the capital is going to come in the form of equity.
Got it. All right.
Well, the next question then is what?
Yeah.
And this is probably the broad question here. So we're
so
painting
what
this.
What kind of business is this?
What kind of business is this? And really, what's the difference? If you just decide to go into business for yourself, by yourself, and you don't have a formal entity, you're just a sole proprietor. But having an actual business entity, like Sam said, is what relieves you of that personal liability mm-hmm. in those particular issues. Now, then the question becomes, what type of business entity should we actually form? There are three general entities that we're going to talk about real quick. Those are going to be your partnership, a corporation, and an LLC. And each one has its own little set of pros and cons and guidelines that are going to be either a great suit for your business or something that you can manage along the way.
Most entities we recommend start out as a limited liability company, and then if they start making money, convert for tax purposes into an S corporation. Most, if not all, of these types of considerations are driven by tax matters. And it's really quite complicated, but if you don't mind, I'm just sort of going to bottom line it for you. If an entity is being funded with debt, and because expenses always precede revenue,
mm-hmm.
as a limited liability company, it's easier to deduct the operating losses than it is if you're an S corporation. Secondarily, if you're a sole owner of a limited liability company, you do not need to file a income tax return for the entity itself. It all appears on your personal Schedule C. Now, once the entity starts making money and is past that startup phase, it's better to become an S corporation. And the reason for that is you can balance between the amount you declare as wages for yourself and the amount that's considered a consent dividend, which although is subject to ordinary income tax, it is not subject to payroll tax or self-employment tax, which gives you a 15.3% benefit to the part that is not not considered part of salaries.
Hmm.
So to give a little bit more of a breakdown, looking at a partnership, this what I was taught in law school anyways, this is kind of the default mindset of how you operate a business. If there's no formal organization in place, something can be interpreted as a partnership. Now, we're not advocating that per se, but that's something that you need to keep in mind.
So a couple of folks get together and they say, okay, we're going to open up a shoe store.
Actually, the Iowa Code defines two people going – two entities going into business together for the purpose of creating profit as a partnership unless they create some other type of entity.
Okay. All right.
So partnership is, in fact, the entity which is formed both by default and by accident.
Got it.
Exactly. And so the nice part about a partnership is you can really custom tailor it to your individual debt, equity, and distribution allocation needs, and your net losses can actually flow through to the individual. One of the other big sticking points of a partnership is that each partner has the ability to act as an agent for the partnership and has an equal voice in the decision-making process.
So if two individuals are in a lawn business of some kind, they both got equal share in that decision-making?
In the decision-making, not necessarily in the ownership of the enterprise.
Okay.
Unless there is some type of writing which says otherwise, the Iowa Code does provide that they would be co-equals, which brings a very interesting problem. And the problem is, suppose an individual has decided to form a sole proprietor by virtue of not forming any other type of entity. Yet they have a key individual employed in the business. If, in fact, something bad happens, somebody's going to argue that key individual is their partner and not their employee, which could cause liability for the sole proprietor.
Got it.
Corporations are the next big one. This is more the traditional business entity. Now, there are two types of corporations to really focus on. There's C corporations and S corporations, and they're named after the subchapters in the tax code where they're established. Now, a C corporation is subject to what is referred to as two-tier taxation, is that there's a taxation both at the corporate level and at the individual level based on the dividends received, whereas an S corporation is a pass-through tax model, so there's no corporate tax.
Got it. Lots of decisions to be made before you even sign off on this.
Michael, it's important that before you form your entity that you get competent counsel on this. This is one of those situations where if you don't do it right the first time,
right,
it's very difficult to do it over. And if you form a corporation when you should have been a limited liability company, you have to dissolve the corporation and reform as a limited liability company. Conversely, if you form as a limited liability company and then desire the tax attributes of an S corporation, it's a simple matter of filing a form with the Internal Revenue Service to get that status.
Hmm. When you're doing all of this, we've covered a lot of ground in the past 15 minutes, as a matter of fact, lots of stuff. When can you actually do all of this? I mean, what's the right timing to say, okay, we're going to form a corporation, limited liability, who is in control? When do we do all this?
You can do it as soon as you're ready. This is something we can begin working on as soon as you have the necessary information. So that's just a matter of starting the conversation.
I think that there's also some critical elements that need to come together. Number one, you've actually got to have a business plan to go into business.
You think?
Things are just far too expensive for people to just go out on a limb. And just because you don't like your present job doesn't mean you should form a new company. It may mean you should look for another job. Second thing is, you've got to make sure that you have enough savings that you can live comfortably for at least 12 months without any income coming in from the company. And the third is really when you just can't hardly stand not being in business for yourself. Oftentimes, people find that by working in their own business, they leave one crazy person as their boss for another crazy person as their boss. And the goal is not to work 80 hours for yourself, just to avoid working 40 hours for somebody else.
Yeah, those the wise words really are. You know, we've got more on this, and you're going to take care of some of this in your own blog post, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I'll be posting on this, hashing it out a little bit more. I got a nice outline ready to go, so we can direct everyone to that to get the rest of the info. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Good stuff. You can find that at creamerlaw.com. That's Creamer, K-R-E-A-M-E-R, creamerlaw.com. Thomas, thanks for putting the work into this. This is a lot of stuff here.
Hey, my pleasure. You know, this is something we're passionate about.
I can tell that. And you know, when I said, hey, we've got 17 minutes, everybody's going, what, that long? We didn't make it through the entire piece. There's all kinds of information. Creamerlaw.com. That's creamerlaw.com. Take a look. And if you're thinking about starting your business, you better get started on the right foot. Creamerlaw.com. All right, we've got to scoot on out of here. For Laura Kennard, who was in earlier talking about networking as well as social media items that are important for your business, my name's Michael Libby. Tyler Hackenmiller is behind the controls tonight. Mark McDowell is the program director. Mary Sayo, the liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group. The music that you're listening to right now was produced, directed, and created by James Goodlett. The voice of Insight on Business is none other than Jimmy Olsen. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Welcome to the first Monday of April. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.